Amen. Okay, Martin, thank you very much. During the earlier stages of the lockdown, and for the first month, we didn't do much in New Life, but I was doing lots behind the scenes, and I was asking the Lord this question. Don't know if you've ever asked yourself, but here's the question: how am I doing, Lord? Don't know if you've ever asked that. Behind that question, of course, this is what I really am asking. I'm really seeking God's assessment on my spiritual and progress. But that sounds very grand and very highfalutin. So when I was talking to the Lord, he says, simply say, Pat, how am I doing, Lord? I'm asking the question, how often have you asked the Lord that for yourself? Lord, how well am I really doing in the spiritual journey that I am, or making spiritual progress? Or Lord, how, ultimately, how am I doing with you and me? That's the question that I asked. And I've asked a number of times. So as we begin then, well, the first question you need to ask is, well, where in the scriptures can I go to find a bit of guidance for that? And the next question is the obvious one, is then after that, and how do I actually do it? I'm asking God, well, how am I doing with you? So where do I get the guidance from? And then how do I put the information that I get, provided I get it, into practice? So this morning, I'm going to answer those two questions briefly. The where, first of all, where do I go for this? And the first reading is really only a few verses, and it's I'm working from Psalm 139, verses 1 to 4. And this is the reason why I ask God, how am I doing? Psalm 139 says this, just a few verses. It says, Lord, you know everything there is to know about me. You perceive every movement of my heart and soul, and you understand my very thought before it enters my mind. You are so intimately aware of me, Lord. You read my heart like an open book, and you know all the words I'm about to speak before I start a sentence. So it makes sense to ask the question, Lord, how am I doing? Because there's nobody who knows either you or me better than the Lord Himself. And the psalmist who wrote this many, many, many years ago, thousands of years ago actually, knew that already. There's nothing about me that the Lord doesn't already know. So He knows everything about me, but not alone that, He can perceive every movement of my heart and my soul. And as I'm even beginning my thought process, He's already ahead of me. And he even knows what's coming through my mind. Verse 3 is, I can never surprise him or shock him because he's intimately aware of me. And as we'd say in verse 4, he has me completely sussed. Read my heart like an open book. And you know all the words I'm about to speak, even before I start the sentence. But you may ask the question, why would I want to know for myself, how am I doing with you, Lord? Well, there's two answers to that. First of all, because of the work that I do, I've got to keep in some reasonable shape with the Lord, or otherwise I'm in a heap of trouble. I won't be able to do my job. So that's part of it. But there's a more important reason is that a day will come when all of us, Christian and non-Christian, will stand before the Lord and we must give an account for our life. So if there's things wrong, I'd rather know about it ahead of time and have a chance either to rectify it or repent of it or change it or do whatever, rather than to stand before him and then and to discover, well, no, actually, things are not as good as I had thought or as I had hoped for. So Lord, how am I doing? And the reason I ask him simply in the summary statement is this: Lord, you know me best. So that's the where. Now, come to the next question is the how. How do we do that? And I found when I was doing my Bible readings, and these two verses just kind of jumped out at me several months ago now, and it really struck me what a very good way of being real and vulnerable before God. But it can be done very quickly, and it doesn't have to be a major, it's in depth, but anyone can do it almost anywhere, anytime. And there's only four stages to it, really. And it's again Psalm 139, verses 23 and 24. And I'm reading from the New Living Translation, because that was what I was reading when this really struck me. So how am I doing, Lord? If you get the picture of you're inside and you're meeting a consultant, or you're in up in the matter for a physical checkup, and you find somebody who gives you a thorough and checking all your vital organs, asking you all these kind of questions, getting a history of your health, etc., etc., and all of that. It's a bit like that. You're inviting the Lord to do that, but he's doing it internally. So it begins with this. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Test me and know my anxious thoughts. Point out anything in me that offends you, and lead me along the path of everlasting life. How am I doing, Lord? And he said, can you go further and explain what it is you're asking me? I'm saying, Lord, search me and know my heart. You see, you could be sitting inside in a beautiful Mercedes, brand new, with beautiful leather seats and all the modern technology, and the car sparkling clean, obviously brand new. But that car is absolutely useless unless the engine is in it and the engine is working perfectly. You can look nice in the car, but if there is no engine, or the engine is absolutely banjax, you're going nowhere. So when I say, Lord, search me and know my heart, I'm asking really, on the very core of my being, what makes me think? What drives me? My will, my decision-making process, the things that are near and dear to my heart, the people as well, obviously. So in doing that, you're inviting the Lord to look at the very, very core of your being. It's like a spiritual CT scan, and it's doing a deep analysis of what's going on in there. So that's search me. Test me and know my anxious thoughts. When you acknowledge yourself and you test yourself, and you know pretty much where you're anxious. But do you know why you're anxious? Point out anything in me that offends you. I'll come back to in a minute, and lead me along the path of everlasting life. You're looking for correction and guidance. But we move on to the next verse. Evaluate my process. So search me, O Lord, and know my heart. Test me and know my anxious thoughts. Different people can handle stress at different points or different levels of anxiety. But one of the things that would make me anxious, and people well know, is if something happens to my health. So when I was in hospital there last year for the first time, so the lads were running all kinds of tests, partly because they had no frame of reference for me whatsoever. It was my first time in hospital, so they had nothing to gauge it. So they went everything from measuring my height to my weight, testing all the vital organs. The only part of what they didn't work me was my head. But they were doing all of that so they could get a baseline as to how things were. Test me and know my anxious thoughts. So when I'm anxious about something, and I know it, or the Lord by his Spirit impresses on me, I ask the obvious question, why am I anxious about that? And what is really behind that anxiety? And it doesn't take rocket science to figure it out, does it? It doesn't. Because you can say, I'm afraid because, or I am anxious because. And when you get that answer, there's one nothing behind. What does that lead to? Sometimes, in my case, it might lead to that I'm afraid that I don't, there's areas of where I believe and there's some areas of where I'm wobbly. My faith is not as strong. But it takes courage to ask that question. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Test me and know my anxious thoughts. Because you're really asking the Lord, who knows you very well, to give his honest and upright opinion of what's really going on. You may be, this may be a help, you may not. But if you want to do this, I cannot think of a better way. I found this to be very helpful and easy to do, really. And then I thought, just to help you with it, other versions say pretty much the same thing, but it says, God, I invite your searching gaze into my heart. Examine me through and through. I can tell you straight out, if you ask him, he will do. The beauty of this is, you can ask him almost anywhere, anytime. You can be driving the car, if that's what you're doing. You can be preparing a meal. You can be in the gym. You can be out driving a tractor. It doesn't make any difference. Lord, how am I doing with you? Another version, this is obviously Psalm 139, verse 23, where I investigate my life. O God, find out everything about me. You can't get any more honest or any more vulnerable before God than that, if you actually mean what you say. Final version that helps you, it says pretty much the same thing. God, see what's in my heart, know what's in there, test me, know what I'm thinking. They're all just slightly different versions of the same idea. I just put them up in case some of that may be more of a help to you. But I've stuck with, search me, O Lord, and know my heart, test me and know my anxious thoughts. So when he showed me my anxious thoughts, well, he didn't have to show me, I knew myself. Then I pursued that to see what would cause that anxiety. And in ways then that I could work on that, I have. Because obviously that's the obvious thing. There's a weakness there. And so I press on with it. I'm not saying about the other end. But at least we're well aware of the weakness. And in what I can do to put it right for now, I have done so. I don't say that boosting, but that's my evaluation of my progress. Pat, you're fine in some things, but you're incredibly anxious in other things. Verse 24 simply says this then. Point out anything in me that offends you and lead me along the path of everlasting life. The first part of that verse is, point out anything in me that offends you. You're asking God to gaze within you or to analyze you and see what's in you or that is actually causing offense to him. You're actually inviting, I'm inviting correction. But I'm also saying, honestly and humbly, is I ain't anything but I'm not perfect. And I have flaws. And there's some things, obviously, that we do that offend God. But there can be other things that are very subtle and we may not be aware of because, you know, we can be blind to our own faults. But when asking God to point out something, that is honesty and there's a measure of, I suppose, humility, but vulnerability in it. So you're asking for to show you. So that's for correction. And the second part of the verse then, and lead me along the path of everlasting life. You're asking for guidance as you press on. So just search me, O Lord. Test me and know my anxious thoughts. Point out anything in me that offends you and lead me along the path of everlasting life. That pretty much covers the Christian walk. Verse 24, which I'm working at the moment, says this, amplifies this, and see if there is any wicked or hurtful way in me. Do you know, the first sin in Scripture was deception. We are what we are today because Adam and Eve were deceived. So it's very important when we ask the Lord and see if there's any wicked or hurtful way in me. Say it any way you want, but it is easy to be deceived. And the worst form of deception there really is self-deception. It's bad enough to be deceived by others, but to actually end up deceiving yourself is just awful. And see if there's any wicked or hurtful way in me. You're asking God to point out something that could cause serious problems, maybe cancer to the soul, that could be potentially devastating to your spiritual life. Point out anything in me that offends you. Another version says it this way: see for yourself whether I have done anything wrong. Another way of saying that is, look, Lord, you know what you're dealing with here. Imperfection at a very good day. And there's a difference between getting something wrong willfully and just getting something wrong because of gross imperfection. But I would rather know that I am wrong this side and be able to do something about it than to stand before and say, Pat, well, actually, we took a wrong turn in there and we weren't able to get you back on track. So when I ask these things before the Lord, I am as honest and seeking what he has to say and hoping that he will say something to me. Is there another version of this? There is. It says, see if there's any adulterous way in me. The reason I put that up was something this. Adulterous way is something can become that can be more important than God in our lives. And it might necessarily be a bad thing, but it could just take the place of God. And saying, Lord, is there something there that is more important to me than you? And sometimes it can be as simple as our own ego. Other times it can be just we want our own way. It can be any number of things. It's not for me to say what it is for you. So you're asking for to be corrected anywhere you are wrong. And then you're asking for guidance. Lead me along the path of everlasting life. In other words, what you're saying, Lord, keep me on track. Because I can stray, I can get distracted, I can get deceived, I can even deceive myself. I can choose and make very bad decisions and not be even aware of how hurtful or how offensive they are to you. So how am I doing, Lord? So I pray that every day for several weeks. The reason why I say that is because I could remember it. Search me, O Lord, and know my heart. I say, Lord, that's part one. Test me and know my anxious thoughts. I'm sure he was saying, well, there's probably 100 of them in there. Which one would you like me to identify first of all, Pat? Point out anything in me that offends you. If I asked any of you that, I'm sure you could come up with several things. And then, Lord, lead me along the path of everlasting life so that I stay on track. So, Lord, how am I doing with all of that? Since you know me the best. And ultimately, Lord, it's your opinion that counts. So when the Lord gives us his opinion of that, you don't have to go anywhere else for a second opinion. What you have then is complete truth, trustworthy, and you have it from somebody who is utterly reliable, but somebody who knows you better than anybody else will ever know you. Which brings me to my last point. It's blank on the screen. But if I was sitting where you're sitting, I would ask the question, but what about if he says something to me or points out something that I don't like? What happens if he's honest about what offends him? What will I do with that? What do I do if he starts addressing my anxieties? You see, one of the things about truth is when the Lord gives us truth, you can never go back in not knowing that truth. You can not apply it, of course. You can even try to forget about it, but you can never unlearn it. You will always know it. So I call it the what ifs. What if he says to me, Pat, you think your heart is in great shape. Actually, I am not that impressed with it. What do I do with that? Well, if he says that to me, then I ask, Lord, what is it about my heart that needs to get changed? If he points out to me areas of where I have been anxious, why is it, Lord, I can trust you here and not trust you over there? Why is that? And what am I to do about that? Lord, I know I'm not perfect. So, Lord, I know I cause even people an utter offense, for goodness sake, not to mind you, Lord. So, Lord, show me what offends you, and he'll only show me as much as I'm capable of handling. But I ask all those three questions because the fourth question is, and keep leading me along the path to everlasting life. I want to be able to stand before him and say, remarkable though it may seem, Lord, we have done what you've asked me to do. I have completed the task and I have ended well in your eyes, Lord. My motivation behind all that is very simply is I want to please God as best I understand my motivation. And I do want his approval and I do want his honest assessment of me, because at the end of the day, when it'll be all over, that's the only thing that'll count and that will matter in heaven. What does Jesus actually think of me? That is what I did over the period of several weeks. I know you'd all love to know how he answered me, and if we had more time, I would give you an in-depth analysis of things that he said. But he did lead me in certain areas, and then how do you know when he speaks? Because if you're asking search, test, point out and lead, you need to find ways of how you know when God is communicating. And God communicates to me in three main areas. Sometimes through scriptures, I'm reading that and something really strikes me. And through books that I read, I got several answers to those things, not all of them, but several answers through the books that he led me to read, and certainly in the early stages of the lockdown, and through sermons that I listened to. I've got more information through sermons of other people that I listened to. And as I asked the questions over and over again, as I prayed about these things, answers came through other people. And I said, okay, there's my answer. Was I afraid? Yes. Nervous? Yes. In the same way as your hospital and you're nervous in case the tests come back and you're in major trouble. Yes, there's a certain nervousness about it. But ultimately, I would rather know than live in denial and have to find out at the very end. And I firmly believe the Lord will only show you as much as you're capable of understanding and as much as you're capable of handling at any given time. And I believe if you do go before him and you do ask him, search me, test me, point out and lead me, and you mean it from your heart, I reckon he'll do it for you. And then you will know for certain, in as certain as you can be, how you're actually doing with him. That is what he has given me to give to you. And all I can do is encourage you, but there is no pressure on if you don't want to do it. But I would encourage you to do it for your own spiritual well-being and for your own spiritual progress. Closing song. What love, my God.